Well, it is good to be here and have fellowship again in Greenville. And it's very nice that you had the Canadian brass specially led on for me this evening. I thought there were only five of them, but it seems that you've grown one more since I last heard the Canadian brass. But we have enjoyed being here, and we enjoy fellowship. I'd like to express our thanks to the congregation for the hospitality shown throughout this past week. It was a great time of prayer that we had, and I believe the Lord is going to do great things for us in days to come. Now, the reason why Mr. Cairns puts me on this particular Sunday every year is so that I won't have time to say anything about him.
Amen.
But
you'll take it anyway.
I think you people will go away disappointed if I didn't say something about him. I was over in Ireland there in January at the week of prayer, and I was talking to a man who used to attend his church in Ballymoney. And he was telling me how that Mr. Cairns was preaching mightily, exhorting people to be the very best they could be for the Lord Jesus Christ, and was really berating the congregation for their lack of effort, and pointing out how that he, even himself, every Saturday morning, scrubbed his mother's back. Now, what he meant by that was the backyard of her house. But the way it came out, you imagine Alan in there with a scrubbing brush, scrubbing his mother in the bathtub. So, these little slips are made sometimes in the pulpit. I'm going to say no more. The thing that I would love to say tonight, I'm not allowed to say. But the next time I'm down, I will be commenting and saying a lot. And so you'll have to wait until the future sometime. I want to turn tonight to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5. And for sake of time, we'll just read three verses, starting at verse number 14. Nehemiah chapter 5, at verse number 14. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 30th year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. May the Lord bless this brief reading from his word. Just before we turn to it, let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this opportunity of meeting together again around the open Word of God. And our Father, we pray just now that thou would cleanse and sanctify the atmosphere, and take away every attack of the wicked one, to steal away the seed of thy Word. And our Father, we pray that thou would sharpen the sword of the Spirit, that it might pierce into every heart. And our Father, we pray for those that know thee, in this age of declension and sin and wickedness, that thou would help us to live holy and righteous lives in this present wicked world. So our Father, we pray to thee, speak to us now by thy power, and grant, O God, that thou would write thy word upon every heart. And should there be those who have never come to Christ, blessed Lord, we pray that even they today would come to know the Lord Jesus, whom to know is life everlasting. Be with us now, we pray, and speak by thy power, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Nehemiah was one of the great Old Testament characters, and of course he was the leader that brought the people back, the exiles back to Jerusalem. He was not a prophet like Isaiah, nor was he a judge or a priest like Samuel, but Nehemiah was a devout, resolute man with a fear of God in his heart and a concern for Jerusalem engraved upon his soul. Now, in this short passage I read to you, there is an expression I want to leave with you at the end of verse number 15. It says, in Nehemiah's words, But so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. Now what we have here is a reference to a relatively small matter that involved a very great principle with regard to the life and the character of God's servant. His predecessors, as representatives of a foreign nation, they had the habit of making gain from their office. Now their custom was legitimate, but it did add to the burden of the people in that land when they were occupied. Now when Nehemiah came and was able, by the grace of God, to rebuild the walls and to some degree reform the nation of Israel, Nehemiah took a stand against that practice, and he says in this verse, regarding this taking of even legitimate custom from the people, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. Now I want to take this expression and this statement because in our day we have been greatly grieved recently, within this past year particularly, because of the sinful behavior of those who profess to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the charismatic television evangelists have brought much dishonor to the name of our blessed Lord and Savior. And then when you add to that the sins of politicians who are continually, it seems, engaged in scandalous behavior here in the United States, and most certainly in the land that I live in Canada, we have this continual breakdown on people doing things that they ought not to do. And I've heard Christians say, well, there but for the grace of God go I. And tonight I want to just address the question of how do we say no in a troubled, wicked society, say no to temptation and no to sin and wickedness. And I want to use Nehemiah here as an example of a man who stood up and took a stand. And if you remember nothing else tonight, remember these words. Nehemiah said, so did not I, because of the fear of God. And may each one of us who know the Lord Jesus emulate the example given by God's servant. And I want to speak particularly to the young people. It's good to see so many young people here, but young people, as you go out into the world, you learn this principle from the Word of God, that you'll be able to say, so did not I, because of the fear of God. Now, we have two things here I want to leave with you. First of all, there's a powerful principle, and that's contained in those words, so did not I. And it has to do with the ability of saying no in certain situations. Nehemiah could have very easily have followed the crowd. A precedent was set by his predecessors, and what they were doing was not really in itself illegal or particularly wrong. It did add to the burden of the poor people, but it was not entirely illegal. But Nehemiah stood up on his feet, and he said, no, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. And the Christian, and I'm thinking particularly of young people, though it applies to us all, the young people must learn in life to say yes to that which is good and holy and noble, and to be able to say no to that which is evil and wicked and bad. You see, in the world of, in the field of worldly opinion, the motto of many people is today, well, what everybody else says must be true, and therefore I will have to go along with that. Young people never ever adopt the philosophy of the world, but rather adopt what the Bible tells us, and be a young person who will search the Scriptures and will decide from what God says whether or not you participate in a particular deed. Because it tells in the Bible of those who were more noble who searched the Scriptures. And so you are to sift the evidence, and always, young people, give God the benefit of the doubt. If you ever come to a decision that must be made regarding some behavior, if there is the slightest doubt in your mind, give the doubt to God. Take a decision where you're able to say, like Nehemiah, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. In the realm of moral practice, it would be good if every young person was able to take even this scripture here as a motto for their life with regard to the things of God that are good and holy and noble. So did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. And the reason for that is that out there in the world, there are many, many beckoning arms and enticing voices. And they want you to do this and to do that. And they're saying, go this way and go that way. And the pressure of peers and all round are placed upon young people to get them to go their way. And young people, remember that the devil in the very Garden of Eden came to Eve. And while the Lord said, thou shalt surely die, the devil said, no, the very opposite. You shall not die. And so young people, there are enticing voices out there beckoning. They want you to come and follow with them. And as you have grown up in the blessed environment of a Christian home, and your home has paid attention to the things of God, and you've been trained in the ways of the Lord from God's word, and then you go out into that world out there, I tell you, you're going to face a cultural shock. I remember when I first went from a fairly good Christian home out into the world of business in aircraft industry. And I tell you, the things that I heard and the things that I saw, I never even believed existed before. And the world is beckoning for young people, and you will go out and you will face the shock of this. Now, you have a choice to make. Either you go along with the world or you resist the desires of the world for you to go their way. Nehemiah was able to say, so did not I with regard to those practices because of the fear of God. Young people, you come to the same place that you resist the world and you go along with the Lord and His word. Because if you yield to the world, then it most certainly will bring ruin to your life. Every one of us, we have a host of inclinations and of desires, and we need to have a strong hand on the brake of our lives. Now, if you allow the devil to get control of your life, he will take you down into degradation. If you allow a sovereign God to have the control of your life, and you follow God's way, then your life will be blessed. You may not make the most money that the world makes. You may not rise in importance in the world as it would rise. But at least you'll have this of knowing that you're doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord God Almighty. There's a song that says, in the world they boast about it, I did it my way. Let me tell you, young people, that is the recipe for disaster in life. You say, I did it my way. It is a fool that says, I did it my way. It is a wise man that says, I did it God's way. And I followed after the precepts the Lord has laid down. Now the world will drag you down. And the world will come along. And the world will want you to conform to its pattern. Now Brother Gallagher this morning talked about the transformation and the translation that we have when we come to Christ and how we're conformed to Lord Jesus. But there are pressures out there that want you to conform to the world in its dress, to the world in its behavior, to the world in its actions. And they will come along and say, well, there's no harm in it. There's no, you don't have to be so straight-laced. You don't have to be so narrow-minded. You don't have to walk such a straight pathway. There's no harm in some of the things that are out there, and they will drag you down. Now, every drunkard that you ever see started off with one drink, just one drink. And that one drink leads to a second one and a third one, and then goes on and on until the person is hooked in it. Because you have the law of diminishing returns. It takes more to be put in to get the same lift out of it. And so you put more and more in. I remember in my previous church, a man who was saved by the grace of God, who was a drunkard. I was talking to him. I said, how did you, when you went to the public house in the tavern, how did you actually drink so much? Because I find if I take one glass of iced tea, that's about my capacity. Even though I may appear to have more capacity, that's about all I can take.
But he said, well, after I had drunk all that I could and could take no more, I went to the washroom, put my fingers down my throat, vomited, and then went back in again to my friends and began to drink. I said, wouldn't it have been far better just to throw your money down the toilet? Yes, the world does. One drink leads to a drunkard's life. The same with drugs. Oh, there's no harm in just taking a little bit of marijuana. No harm in taking a little bit. And that little bit leads to another little bit. And on you go until you find that you're hooked and held a snare. The same with the gambler. The compulsive gambler. Oh, bet here in a horse race. Oh, so very small and insignificant. And before long, he's ensnared by it. Because the devil, he is a master at putting his little wedge in. He puts a little wedge into your life and pries it apart, your resistance, and then he gets in. My friend, there's a little saying that goes, sin fascinates, but in the end, sin assassinates. And young people, don't ever forget that, because the world will drag you down. You see, sin starts in the mind. The devil places a little temptation there in your mind. And my, in these days when there's so much sin round about, we need to pray on that prayer the Lord has given to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The sin starts here. You begin to think on it. You dwell on it. And then the seed planted by the wicked one becomes a thought. And the thought becomes a desire. And the desire becomes a look. And the look becomes a touch. And the touch becomes an action. And the action becomes a habit. And the habit becomes ruin. Because the devil will get you on the slippery slope. It will lead you down. My friend, and my young friend particularly, do not allow the world to ridicule you into compliance with its ways. You see, there are people who will say, so did not I, because of the fear of man. And they're shown certain principles in the Word of God. And they're taught to come to Lord Jesus Christ. They're taught to live by the precepts of the Bible. And all they can say is, so did not I, because of the fear of man. My friend, your friends will laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out of the flames of a Christless hell. So, young person, do not be ridiculed into compliance in the world's ways. And to me, there's no more contemptible person than that person who cannot stand up on his own feet and say no when no has to be said. You meet some people like that there, and especially in some of the churches. I think of the United Church of Canada, it's apostate to the core. There are ministers in there who profess to be born again. And yet when it comes to taking a stand for the truth of God's word, they bend this way and they bend that way. And to me, they're contemptible. Nehemiah said, so did not I, because of the fear of God. Young people, don't be ridiculed into compliance, but be willing to take a stand like Luther. Remember Luther, as he stood there, surrounded by a host of people who were opposed to the principles that Luther has espoused in the Word of God. It's so easy for Luther to say, well, maybe I better go back and have another look at this and examine some of the arguments that I've been given. But he stood up and he said, here I stand, so help me God. And young people, you take that stand, and the Lord will bless you, because the Bible says that them that honor me, I will honor. In the Bible, you have many examples there of good men who, like Nehemiah, said no. Joseph, in the sin that the wife of Potiphar wanted him to engage in, he said no. Daniel in Babylon refused to eat the king's portion of meat. He said no. The three Hebrew children said no. We're into the burning fiery furnace. My friend, there's a time when we have to say no, and when it is a shame to surrender to the claims of the devil upon our lives. My friend, come to the place where you can say, like Nehemiah, with regard to the evil and the bad, So did not I because of the fear of the Lord. See, a powerful principle there. And I see my time is going very, very fast, so we'll have to very quickly look at a powerful persuader, which is because of the fear of God. I wonder if those who profess today to be filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, and remember that the Spirit's name is prefaced by his attribute of holiness. I wonder if those same people who stand up and profess that the doctrines regarding a sovereign God are pernicious lies. I'm talking about Jimmy Swaggart. Jimmy Swaggart, I have the article at home where he said that the doctrines of grace were pernicious lies and spurious lies. And where he said that the doctrine with regard to the irresistible grace of God, that there was the trail of the serpent. If those people who so loudly profess to be filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost, if they lived in the fear of a sovereign God, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. And Jim Baker is into his tryst with a harlot, and not be doing what he does. Swaggart's even greater sin, involving pornography. How could the man do it if he's cognizant of the fact that God Almighty is sovereign and that he reigns and that he can put us down with a stroke? The fear of the Lord. Nehemiah had that fear. The Bible tells it is the beginning of wisdom. Nehemiah came to the starting point. We're taught that when you come to study theology, you don't start with man and reason back to God. You start with God. Theology is the study of God himself. And Nehemiah recognized the relationship between him and the Lord. He realized there's one there who is an almighty power in creation. But not only that, he realized that God was also an almighty person, and that Nehemiah was made in the image of that God. The fear he had was not a slavish fear, but it was a reverential, living regard for the one who gave him breath and who gave him life. My friend, I believe that we need to come face to face with who God is and what God is. And we need to realize how great is God. Because if we live in the fear of the Lord, then we'll not be entering into sin the way that so many do. The Bible tells us not only of the fear of the Lord and the person of God, but that God has given to us a law. And God would have us say yes to the law of God and no to the transgression of the law of God. Now you suppose Greenville, with no law at all out in the natural and political sense. No law at all. Do what you like. You'd have society that is a complete shambles. But we are responsible to the authorities of this area, when we live in this area. You suppose a world where there was no law, but God has given law. Law, natural law, to look after the world, and is given to a spiritual law in his word. And that law is not a Christ to save. It's a signpost to the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we come to Christ, it's also a code of ethics for the believer. We are responsible to God, and we are to live according to his law. Now, if we were left to ourselves, society would be like in the days of the Judges, the end of the book of Judges, where every man did that which is right in his own sight. And it was catastrophe for the nation of Israel. And so God has given us a law, and we are to say yes to God's law and no to the transgression of that law. But as well as that, he's given us love. There is the love of God. And that love of God is reminding us that God's regulations that he has laid down here are not for our detriment.
They are for our good. You see, if you go to buy a motor car, and you buy it, they will give you with that car a book of instructions. It'll tell you in that book of instructions how fast you can rev your engine. Sometimes you hear somebody go out in the morning, in a cold morning, and you hear the poor old car screaming. That's very bad for it. And they will tell you in the instruction book that there are certain things you don't do. You don't change your radial tires and rotate them on the wheel. It doesn't work. It's not right. And you put the correct sort of oil into it. My sister had a little car with an engine in the back. Now, it wasn't the famous Beetle, but there was two little places there for putting in fluids that the engine needed. One of them was oil, one was water. My dear sister, she put water into the oil one, and that is not very good for the car. So, you see, when you get the instruction book with the car, you obey those instructions. Why? Because if anybody knows what is good for the car, it is the people who made it. They know its limitations, and so they give the instructions. And when it comes to our lives, if anybody knows what is good for the regulation of our lives, it is the Lord God who made us. Therefore, we are to abide by the instruction that God has given to us, and he has told us, ye must be born again. We need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Acknowledge our sin, acknowledge our need, and take Christ as Savior. And then from that day, as Ian was telling us this morning, you go on transformed by the grace of God and with the strength of the Lord, being able to say no. Now, we cannot say no in our own strength. We cannot stand like Nehemiah and say, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord, if we have not the strength of the living Christ. But the Lord has told us that we are more than conquerors through him. I wonder what Jimmy Swaggart thought. If someone would have thought, if somebody had whispered into his ear, sin shall not have dominion over you. Because there is victory for believers through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we are to follow what God has laid down in his word, because he knows best what's good for our lives and how we can live according to that way that will be pleasing to him and blessing to ourselves. One final word, and that is, in the Isle of Lewis revival off the west coast of Scotland some almost 40 years ago now, God moved in a signal manner. And the life on that little island was transformed. And some of you have heard the tapes of Duncan Campbell telling about that revival. That was not something worked up where they announced in the paper that revival would begin in Lewis on such a Sunday. It was something that came by the power of the living God. And that transformed life on that island. And Campbell bears this record, that so great was the awe of God, and the sense of the presence of the Lord, and the very fear of the Lord, he said, the people in Lewis were afraid to sin. Now, that's what happened to Nehemiah. So did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. He was fearful of transgressing the commandment of the Lord our God. Young people, as you go out into a wicked world that will have immense pressures placed upon you to get you to conform to its standards, my prayer is, and I'm sure it's the prayer of the minister here and all the workers, that God will give you grace to say, with regard to that which is bad and wicked and evil, so did not I, because of the fear of God. But the right young person, if you have already sinned against God as you have, and that sin has not been blotted out, you would need to come to Lord Jesus Christ even today, even tonight, and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord will, by his grace, blot out your transgressions in his precious blood, make you a new creature, and then you can go forth living daily, not by your strength, but his weakness,
but by the strength of the risen Christ of God in your life. God tells us, we shall be more than conquerors through him that loved us. May God give us grace then to say no to that which is wicked and evil and bad, and always say a hearty yes to that which is good and noble and righteous. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the encouragement thy servants of old give to us to stand for thee. And while, Lord, we in ourselves are weak, we thank thee for the strength that resides in our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, for every believer, and especially for those that are young whose characters are being formed, that thou would give them grace and strength to say no when no has to be said, and to say yes to the good and the righteous when thou dost want them to follow thee. So, our Father, burn this verse into every heart, we pray. And should there be a soul here realizing that they have sinned in the past and that sin is uncovered and unforgiven, O God, we pray it just now, thou would draw that one by the cords of thy love unto Christ, because we thank the Lord that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Answer prayer, we pray, and as we go our separate ways now, give journeying mercies and keep us in the hollow of thy hand. And unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.